back with you on World Championship Wrestling. And I wonder right now if Arn Anderson is concerned, is looking over his shoulder, thinking about what has happened to Ole Anderson, Dusty Rhodes. Listen to that.
This man here is tremendous, you know that? Let me say something right now about my main man, Arn Anderson. Baby doll told you recently that you're gonna get some limbs broke, you understand? Some portions of your body gonna be strode out on the interstate. It's gonna happen. Ole Anderson's laid up in Minnesota right now watching this program, not here live and in color. I'm not out here singing, I'm not out here dancing, I'm not out here wearing big time watches and out here with anything but the best looking woman on this earth. Baby doll herself, live and in color, Jack. And I seen the ugliest man in the world walk out here. The Baron von Reschke, Germany's greatest athlete. Don't mention my name in the same breath, brother. You talk about the Road Warriors, Ivan Nikita Koloff. Dusty Rhodes is right there with them boys. Them animals, if you will. And when dues gonna be paid, we gonna be there. So the band needs to hook it up. Get ready for it. And you know, just recently, you know, Flair's always talking about where he been. I'm going to Portland, Oregon. I'm going to Seattle, see Mr. Don Owens. Coming up this week's gonna be fabulous, Jack. And this past weekend, me and Baby Doll went up in the middle of Asia, high in the Himalaya Mountains. We were 25,000 feet above actual sea level. And Baby Doll was sitting on a yak. You know what a yak is, brother?
Yes, I do.
She was sitting on a yak. She was looking so pretty. And she said, Dream, she said, this is high. I say, no, mama, this expensive. And that's the way it is with me and Doll. She got a lot of letters, a lot of cards. Her new change of ways has brought you Baby Doll herself. Go on, mama.
That's right. I do try and get to all the letters that are received, but taking care of Dusty is a full-time job. And last week I said that women should be kept barefoot and pregnant. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But Baby Doll likes the glamour and the life. I love it. I love working for Dusty. I love being with the American Dream. And if you want to be barefoot and pregnant, that's fine. But Baby Doll loves the glamour, and I love being with Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream.
What about Telly Blanchard?
Telly Blanchard. Well, it seems like the cat has got his tongue. Like, we haven't been hearing too much from him lately, have we?
We're going to go take a bubble bath.
Right. Let's go to the ring.
Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Your shows, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant and Rave.
Remember, what this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
It's episode 491 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. I can't believe it's already April. April the 1st, 2024. I am, as always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray. How is everybody doing? How's been your life? Has been your everyday? How was your holiday, your Easter holiday, if you celebrate? How was your Passover? Is it Passover? Yeah, Passover is the spring. Hanukkah is the thing. Sometimes I get my faiths, and then I get my my holidays confused. I'm getting old, kids. I'm getting really old. So, and shout out to all of my Muslim friends and family doing the Ramadan thing the next couple of weeks. You know, it's I don't know if I can ever do that, man. My barber is Muslim, and you know, every year I say to him, like, how you feeling? He's like, I feel great, you know, whatever, I feel refreshed. So he explains to me how it goes, and I'm like, I just don't know if I could do that, man. Like, you know, I bless you, because it's hard to do, man. That shit is hard to do. If you, when you think about it, right? You don't eat from sun up to sundown, depending on how you do your day. Like, if you're an early riser like me, and you're up between like 4 and 5 in the morning, and your day doesn't end until 9 o'clock at night during the week. Like, the sun's going down here like around 7 o'clock now. So when I leave work, it's like dusk, right? So now I'd have to either eat on the way home, which is a nightmare because I'm on a bus, or eat when I get home and it's 9 o'clock. And at that point, I've already, like, you know, been up for almost 16 hours at that point. Like, just, you know, I would, especially at work, I don't work with just one other person. It's a whole bunch of us, and people are heating up food, and, you know, and if it smells good, I'm dead. if it smells bad, I'm all right. But if it smells good, then I'm dead in the water. So shout out to all my Muslim people, especially if you're listening. I hope you guys are having a good Ramadan, a safe and holy Ramadan. You know, I hope you guys are getting some clarity with all that fasting you're doing, getting your prayers in and whatnot. So anyway, what's been going on? Nothing much since the last time I recorded, which was, I want to say, mid to early March. I think I'm going to check right now. Okay, March 10th was the last time I released an episode. And I did it from, like, my phone and my laptop, and I had the equipment out, and I was like, all right. And then I break out the equipment today. I'm like, I'm going to record because it's Mania Week. It's Mania Week. We got a lot to talk about. I say we. It's just me, of course. But we, I say we. I'm just so used to saying we because I'm used to having a bunch of people here. But yeah, it's going to be a great week, and I was real nostalgic this past weekend. I was under the weather. Nothing new for me lately, this last 3 or 4 months of my life, but a little bit of a cold, and I lost my voice. I was going to record on Thursday because I had Thursday off, and I was going to, you know, I was supposed to go to opening day for the Mets. They got rained out, but I was losing my voice at work. I was like feeling like crap, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to go, and I could go Friday. And I got home, and I just basically lost my voice. I'm like, this is bullshit. So by the time I got my voice back, it was already Friday. And I already had errands to run and laundry to do, and because I'm going away in a couple of days, I wanted to make sure that was done. I had to get some affairs in order, doctor's appointments, therapy, a bunch of shit going on. So I had to do all that nonsense. And then by the time I blink, it's already Sunday, and I'm still feeling like shit, so I took another day because I just wanted to rest. You know, I got an extra 2 hours of sleep, which helps me, but I'm working on getting some better sleep, actually. Hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, I'll be getting some better sleep, and I'll get into that when I get it, so I'll save it for another show, but I'm working on getting a little more healthier. You know, it's that time of your life where you should be thinking about that. You lived half your life and you abuse your body. So now it's like, oh, let me just start exercising now. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've done it before, but not very frequently. So it's important, especially if you have health issues or pending health issues, you might want to take a look at that. And just do me a favor, man. If you have any kind of like long-term health issues that you're not addressing, please, I don't care if you're 20, 30, 40, or 50. Do yourself a favor and just address them. Because I'm telling you, I'm watching people now who did not address their needs medically. And, like, they are falling apart and they're very young people. So just, you know, I'm not saying it's going to be you. But, like, if I can give you any kind of advice that's not wrestling related, do yourself a favor and just do that. Because it's important, you know. Especially if you're a parent. Or people depend on you, like family and whatever, loved ones and whatnot. So it's also important because you're not just doing it for you, you're doing it for them as well, right? So anyway, like I said, I hope everybody's having a great whatever you're doing. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're well enough to enjoy what's been going on. If you're a part of the country that the seasons are changing better for you, that's great. We're getting a little warmer weather here in New York City. It's been about 50 degrees, 60 degrees. Now we're getting a rain the next 4 days, which sucks, but you know what? It is what it is. You know, rather snow. We haven't had a major snowfall in like 4 years, so I'm pretty lucky about that. Especially in my line of work, because if you get snow and people can't come to work, you're screwed. You're stuck there. Trust me, I've done that, and that's the worst, man. So anyway, so yeah, I'm, you know, I don't, you know me, feels like the hot weather, but I do like a good spring weather, you know. I got some baseball tickets for minor league baseball here on Staten Island, so I'm excited about that in May. Met one of my heroes, my childhood heroes, Doc Gooden. While I got the tickets, that was part of the thing. If you buy the tickets, you get this, you get a couple autographs. And I was like, this is great. So I went to the stadium. It was pouring out. Me and my buddy and his wife went. And if you the tickets are usually like $20. They were selling them for $5. So I got three of them. I'm like, this is great. It's on a Friday night. It's in May. It'll hopefully be a nice night. It's still cool out at that point. It doesn't really start getting warm here in New York, like really warm, until like after Dad's Day, which like maybe like late June, right? So here in the States, I think, I don't know. I know Mother's Day is different in the UK. I don't know if Father's Day is different. I don't even know if you guys even saw. I'm sure you do, but I don't even know if it's the same thing. If you guys can correct me when you listen to this, please do without me looking it up. I try to do things without looking them up, except for research for the show, obviously, but how that goes. So yeah, it doesn't really start getting super warm here until right before 4th of July. So it's like, and then it stays warm until like fucking November, like, you know. I just hate it. So I'm going to enjoy my last couple of weeks of what I call hoodie weather. I love just wearing my hoodie and a nice fresh ball cap and, you know, whatever. And, you know, I'm always a t-shirt kind of guy. I bought a bunch of new t-shirts for my little getaway this week. I'll get into that in a few minutes. But I am, you know, obviously I get excited around WrestleMania time because it's the 40th one. And, of course, yesterday was the anniversary of the first WrestleMania. And it was, so I watched that the other day. It was WrestleMania 3's anniversary, and I was really emotional about that. You guys all know my Grandma Mary story. I've told it a million times. I don't have to rehash it. And I post it on social media every year. So, you know, I feel like the first, I mean, we've ranked manias on the show before. Like, every incarnation of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, whatever co-hosts I had, we always ranked them. And I always hold 2 near and dear to me, even though it wasn't one of the, it probably was one of the worst ones, I mean, production-wise. But for me, it was everything. So 2 is my favorite. If you want to go, like, that route of importance, I feel like the first 3, even 4 manias are the most important in terms of how the company progressed, right? I mean, 5 was on the, they, at that point, they had established the mainstream and, you know, but the first 3 was super important. And then you add the 4th one with the tournament and, you know, Hogan taking a backseat for Savage so he can do his movies and whatnot. And just that, I've watched these over and over again the last couple of weeks just to get my, and today's throwback I watched a couple times too, just to get myself in the mood because, not that I needed much anyway, because let's face it, it's wrestling, right? And I got real, like, nostalgic, man, because, you know, here in New York, like I always mentioned, we didn't have anything else. We didn't have cable until, like, in New York City, we didn't have cable in parts of the city until, like, late 89, 90. So, you know, if I'm not getting an Aptermag, I'm getting videotapes from my godmother, who would get them from her friends who lived in the suburbs, who had satellite dishes the size of their backyard, and they would record all these things, and then she'd bring them to me. She'd borrow the tape, bring me to her house, pop it in the top loader. And that's how I watched the first 2 manias. I watched them right after they happened. So literally days after they happened, I watched them at my grandmother's house. So shout out to Aunt Joanne. I always thank her. She's retired now, and she lives down south. But I always thank her for that because she, you know, knew I loved it, and knew that she had no interest in it, but she knew I liked it and borrowed these tapes from her friends just to show. And back then, borrowing a tape was a big deal because VCRs were still fairly new at that point and very, very expensive. So if you're going to lend out a tape, tapes weren't cheap either. They were pretty pricey at one point. So this is all like in the infancy of like this technology. So I'm pretty sure lending out a tape at that point in her life, in their life, to my godmother was pretty important. And they knew I liked it, so shout out to all them that thought of me as a little kid. But I love it. I love the first 3 manias. They're near and dear to me. They're flawless, in my opinion. 2 being my favorite for a bunch of reasons. I mean, 1, because of the whole location thing. First, it was Nassau, then Chicago, and then Los Angeles. And then you had Elvira, and you had an entire heel commentating team at the third part, the third leg of the event. You had Elvira, technically a heel. Lord Alfred Hayes, always a heel announcer, and Jesse the Body Ventura. Chicago had Gorilla Monsoon. And Kathy Lee Gifford and Mean Gene on the stick. And then you had the Big Cat Ernie Ladd, the Battle Royal, the football players. How many people were dead in this, from this video? Oh, my goodness. And then you had, you know, of course, they opened up with Vince and Susan St. James, who wound up being the wife of the guy who ran NBC, who was friends with Vince. I forgot his name already, but that's, and that, all these years later, I find out why she was there. And plus, she was on that show, Kate and Ally, which I liked when I was a little kid. So she was already an established actress, that sitcom actress at that point. And she did a lot of TV shows and whatnot. So the location thing. And then obviously three for so many reasons. I mean, two, again, like I said, the British Bulldogs, Ozzy was in their corner. They won the titles from the Dream Team. Hogan and Bundy in the cage. Bundy was the biggest heel. It's so weird how between WrestleMania 1, Bundy making his debut on WrestleMania, and then because he only made his debut a couple of months prior to WrestleMania, maybe a year or half a year maybe, and then WrestleMania 2, he's main eventing. WrestleMania 3, he opens the show, one of the opening acts, one of the opening matches with him and the mixed tag with the, I hate saying it, I guess, whatever, Little People, we can't call them midgets anymore, but the Little People, it was Lord Little Brook, Little Tokyo, and Bundy against Hillbilly Jim, Little Beaver, and Haiti Kid, who had just gotten his head shaved by Piper recently and never addressed it. He just kept it like that, you know, which led to the WrestleMania 2 match with Piper and Mr. T. So, but yeah, it does, those hold near and dear to me. And then, you know, this is also the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania 10, which I'll get into after the break. But like all these feelings and memories come back, and just getting the magazines, and I was, if you were lucky enough, if some of the newsstands would have the programs. So I wish I still had my WrestleMania fucking 2 and 3 program, because I gotten them both from a newsstand where my mom would go to bingo, like this, these little smoke shops that sold like candy and cigarettes and whatnot. They sold magazines and comic books. I had the two, I had WrestleMania 2 and WrestleMania 3. I had those programs. Three. And I couldn't afford to get one at the Mania 3 event that I went to, because I just got enough to get in. But like a week or two later, I was at a newsstand, and I bought it. Even though it happened already, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, for that was just, for me, as an 11-year-old, it was monumental, you know. Was I 11? No, wait a minute. 86. Wait, 84 is 10... I was 12. I was almost 13. My math is terrible. I apologize. So, yeah, I mean, it was that kind of party. That's what you did. You know, you relied on a magazine. And sometimes you got a treat, you know. Those treats were great. Even, like, later on in life, even into my late teens, early 20s, the PWI had the little almanac. It came out, it looked like a Reader's Digest book, you know, and that came out like once a year, and you knew when it was coming out, and you knew which newsstands had it. And this is before I had a Barnes & Noble near me or anything like that. I would have to go to like these magazine stands. Sometimes I'd even go to Manhattan when I was allowed to ride the train. I would go into, and they had the Hudson News, which they still have. Like, those places always had magazines. Like, but to go into the city as a little kid, I wasn't allowed. But when I got a little older and I got taking the train, I was getting wrestling magazines in Manhattan all the time. I'd come home from a hardcore show, or I'd go to a metal show, and I'd jump back on the train, and sometimes I would have money to eat, sometimes I wouldn't even eat, I would buy a wrestling magazine, and die of thirst and hunger, and get home and stuff my face and go to bed, if I saw something I liked in these certain spots, because they were guaranteed, you were guaranteed a spot, you know, and a spot to get a magazine. It was really cool. So that part, those things I remember. And then, like, a month or two after the event of Mania, you would get, like, the aftermath, whatever, Wrestler, PWI, and Pro Wrestling Illustrated. It was Pro Wrestling Illustrated, The Wrestler, and Inside Wrestling. Those were the three after mags, mainly. Then they had WOW, the wrestling magazine, WOW, I think it was called. There was one from Canada that you got once in a while, but they were really into like, the color pictures and the posters. They really didn't get in-depth with articles like the after mags did, you know. And I always mention that to Bill when I see him at the conventions and stuff like that. I always say, like, how did you guys manage to recycle the same shit into three different magazines? He goes, we had a lot of talented writers, you know. He said to me, he goes, we had fun doing it, and we took certain aspects of what we did in terms of being like pseudo journalist, you know, and he gave me this whole breakdown, and we were in a crowded room, and I should have interviewed him with a phone or something. I wasn't even thinking about it. I just wanted to ask him. And that's what he said to me. He goes, we just had a lot of material. Like, we had the stuff to write down. We had a cool vibe. And I respect that, because as a 12-year-old, as a 10-year-old, I'm like, holy shit, man. There's three wrestling magazines a month, and I didn't buy all three every month, by the way. I would buy mostly PWI, but if I, Inside Wrestling and The Wrestler. The Wrestler I didn't really get much of, but because, whatever, but if the cover has to sell me. And if you look at guys now, like guys my age on social media, they're buying, like they're going to these antique stores, all these like these nostalgia places, and they're going to like flea markets in their towns, and they're buying up these old magazines. And if you see, the cover has to bring you out. In PWI, it was either the cover or the poster. You always didn't hang the poster up, but you always had that backstory of the wrestler in the back of the poster. So yeah, I didn't like Lex Luger, but I liked the poster because it gave me a backstory. You know, speaking of Luger, I'm going to be on a buddy Eric's pod. Eric does a few podcasts from a buddy from Toronto. So Eric wanted me to come on the other day, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll jump on with you." I was so excited. And then, like I said, I ran out. I was doing these fucking errands. It was Easter, so I had to go. And I'm Italian, so, you know, you have to buy, like, you have to bring stuff for your dinner. And my mom was like, I spent all this money on meat. I hope you guys are coming for dinner. I'm like, yeah, I'm coming for dinner. I feel like shit anyway. And I was at a bookstore, and I went and down the block and bought pastry. And I was like, yeah, this is great. I got pastry for mom and whatever. So, yeah, I didn't get a chance to jump on, but we're going to do something really cool. And I'm going to give him my Luger story that I gave you guys a bunch of years ago. And my disdain as a kid for the total package, you know. And you kind of sort of like, you know, when I was thinking about it on the way home that night, I said, you know, because I just had to jump on. He had plans, other plans, because I was jumping on when I got home. And I was thinking about the whole, he mentioned to me what he wants to talk about. And I'm thinking about, like, my mindset then to my mindset now. And I'm watching the same shit from 40 years ago, right? But the more you know about the person, the more you add a level of respect or disrespect towards him or him or her. You know, like, there are a lot of guys who were really good performers, but they were assholes outside the ring. They were really good performers who murdered their families and whatever. But, you know, and we've talked about that too, like with that line that you draw. But the contributions these guys and girls made back then are the reason why we have what we have now. So you gain a level of respect for guys like Luger, guys I didn't like very much, you know, guys like Luger, and I was never a big Hogan guy, but, you know, and now more than ever because of the shit that I found out about him, besides him being a racist, but like, the Hulkster is the reason why we have all of this shit, you know, his character is the reason why we have all this stuff now, right? So you put that into perspective, and it's like, well, even the Ultimate Warrior, I couldn't stand the Ultimate Warrior, but you knew his significance, you know? And hence why I rooted for the heels almost every time, right? So, yeah, so I just got, you know, I got really nostalgic this weekend, and I was like, I'm going to put this stuff together, and if I feel better, I'll do it. And I left it out, and I'm like, I'm just going to record, and here I am, and I'm getting better, and I'm going to be down in Philadelphia for Mania weekend starting Thursday. And the boys and I talked about this like a year ago. And there's this bunch of shit going on. Let me give you my itinerary. I don't know if I can find it, because I, you know, of course, you know, I save nothing. Everything's in a fucking text message now, or a Facebook messenger message, right? So starting on Thursday afternoon, I'll be at Stardom, the American Dream Show. Then DDT Pro that night, 8 o'clock. Tokyo Joshi Pro on the 5th. Battleground on the 5th. And we were trying to swap out the Battleground tickets. There's two shows that day, by the way, for Battleground. It's Rob Feinstein's promotion. There's an afternoon show and there's an evening show. I'll be at the evening show. And then the last one before we leave for back here is GCW versus Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling. So that's going to be at 2:30. So from the 4th to the 6th, I'll be down there. And, you know, and then there's a ton of shit going on. I just posted something today. Let's see. I'll go down the list. Starting today, there's a wrestling, was it Head Hardcore Hustle. Then there's Hardcore Hustle tomorrow. Mon Valley on Wednesday. Labor of Love. Extreme Dwarfinators. Fighter Team and Pro Wrestling R. Circle 6. I think Kevin Gill's doing something with them. Intergender Bonanza. Then Thursday, April 4th, I mentioned my hour show. And then Defy Wrestling, Labor of Love, All Caribbean Wrestling. Monster Factory running shows. Stardom, like I said. 880 Wrestling, Big Dan's Champion, Birthday Bash, Combat Fights Unlimited, Grand Slam Wrestling, the Mark Hitchcock Memorial. That's Nick German's guy, his friend who passed away. Nick German's coming up with his oldest on Saturday. We're excited for that. Hopefully I'll see Surfer and get some pretzels too while I'm down there. Micromania, WrestlePro, 5-Star, Action, DDT, Eat the Turnbuckles, Smash Master Wrestling. And then on Friday the 5th, you got TJPW, like I mentioned, Battle. You got the Battleground, like I mentioned, two shows. Progress is going to be there for you UK wrestling fans. Wrestling Evolver versus House of Glory. New Fear City Wrestling, All for One Wrestling, ICW, Ring of Honor, which is their Supercard of Honor. And that's headlined with Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe. I'm excited for that. Sanctuary Wrestling, and then Saturday, April 6th, you got Kaiju Big Battle. Thank God I'm not seeing that. That's in Monster Factory. Thrashavania. These are all either in Philly or around Philly, like in South Jersey. Suplex Vintage Wrestling. That's in Philadelphia. That's a store, actually, I want to go visit. I mentioned TJPW, ETU Wrestling, April 7th, Worldwide Dojo, Combat Zone, Spark Joshi, Superpowers of Wrestling, Ruthless Pro, and I think that's all I got right now. And then the rest of it's like, you know, NXT and, you know, the first night of Mania. We'll get into that. So, but before I get into my predictions, I've been watching a lot of wrestling. I was watching a lot of old Japan. I know there was a title change the other day. Nakanishi lost and to like a rookie. This kid's only been in Fed a couple of years, and he dethroned Nakanishi, who's threatening to leave and go to the States, which is interesting. I would love to pay. I don't want to pay for another streaming service, but I want to watch more Old Japan, like current pro, Old Japan Pro Wrestling. New Japan, they're doing their thing. Matt Riddle's over there still. And Ziggles is over there. They're doing their thing. One of the Bullet Club War Dog guys allegedly retired. I don't know if it's a work. But that cage match was insane from the last card they did. The last big card they did. What else? Dark Side of the Ring, I'm caught up. Phenomenal. Buff Bagwell. They did John Tenta. They did Season 5. They just did Beefcake. They did, oh my God, it was so good. The John Tenta one was really good. I enjoyed that. I'm caught up with that. The A&E stuff I'm caught up with too. They did the Legends thing. Roman Reigns was the one last night. That was the least of my favorites. I enjoyed DDP. I enjoyed them all. They're really, really good. Really well done. So I just thought it was my favorite. Listen, Sarge has been around for a minute, so by the time he got real popular, this is, you know, after G.I. Joe, this was already like 1990, 91, G.I. Joe wasn't like as big as it was, you know, but that whole Iraqi sympathizer thing, we've done that WrestleMania already on Turnbuckle Throwback, so, but that was some shit, like the whole thing with who was family getting threatened, and he sent security and all that stuff, and you know, people, and then what pisses me off too, like, I feel bad for the guy. His character, Sergeant Slaughter, was a Marine. So when he would be in character, like on radio shows or TV shows, he'd tell people he was in the Marines. Now, Robert Remus never served in the military, but Sergeant Slaughter did, right? So he's in character. You know, people were complaining about that, like recently, like, how can you do that? I served. But it's a fucking character, man. This is this cancel culture. Like, can't people just be, like, can't they just relax and let these guys and girls entertain you for, like, a couple of minutes? Like, thank you for your service and God bless you, but, like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, come on. Let the guy live. This guy's been wrestling for, like, 40 years. and as Sergeant fucking Slaughter. We know Sarge didn't go to the Army. It'd be cool if it was like a deal where he was like Corporal Kirshner. Do we know Corporal Kirshner went to the Army? We don't know. We know Ranger Ross was a real Ranger, but that's besides the point. He spent half his career in Japan anyway. So how big of a fucking patriot were you, you know? Was Firebreaker Chip and the other guy, were they were the patriots, but they weren't, was the patriot, Del Wilkes, rest in peace, was he a fucking soldier? I don't know. But if he was, it'd be in character. So who gives a shit, man? Like, these guys and girls, relax, Marks, seriously, just relax. Let these people make their money, let them do their rounds, they're old, and they're respected in their field, let them just do their thing, man. If Sergeant Slaughter wants to be in the Marines, the fucking Air Force, the Army, the Coast Guard, the Navy, let him do it. But when he goes home, he's Robert Remus. He's not Sergeant Slaughter, and he wasn't in the Army or the military for that matter. So when I see Sarge, I thank him for his service. Funny, I salute him jokingly, and he acknowledges it. But he also tells you, like, I wasn't in the Army or I wasn't in the Marines. But we know you weren't, man. And he has to say that now because of these fucking these people who complain. Like, come on, man, let it go. Another reason why I don't podcast all the time, because of these people, they nitpick you for every single thing. Like, you know, all of this is opinion based. If I read a review from a wrestling show from back then, that stuff was cemented. It's, you know, I'm just giving you my opinion about this stuff. None of this, you know, even if I say something that's not factual, if I say something off the top of my head, you correct me, that's fine. That's happened to me all the time. But, like, if I read something that's factual, it's factual. If I say something that's not factual, meaning my opinion about something, it's just an opinion. You know, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one, and some of them stink. Whether mine stink or not, after almost 12 years, you guys would decide that. So, you know, either way. Yeah, Dark Side of the Ring, that was great. The A&E stuff was fantastic. They're doing a new, A&E's doing a new season of the Hidden Treasures, and I think there's a Hogan Mick Foley episode where Mick Foley goes down to the beach shop and asks Hogan for some NWO shit, and they've had a beef because Hogan just, you know, everybody picked on Mick Foley in their book. Flair did, Hogan did, like, because of the style of wrestling Mick did. Mick basically pimped out his body to be a superstar, and it worked, but now he's suffering for it because he's in chronic pain and he can barely walk, and he knows that. Like, he knows what his career did to him, but these guys took a different path in their career and they feel like it's not cool. And I'm like, you know what, so now they're finally, they're all getting old and they're all getting, you know, they're all finding that guilt, like, let's sleep in dog's lie, let's squash the beef, because you know what, the end of the day, it's not going to affect anybody else's paycheck, you know? You didn't sell any more or less books because of how you felt about somebody else. You sold the books because of who you are as a performer, you know? I was kind of mad when I first bought the Ric Flair book. I was kind of upset about it, the way he picked on Foley. Because, you know, Foley was, maybe I'm showing my New York bias because he's a New York guy, he's a Long Island guy. But, like, you know, Mick Foley did something that a lot of other guys did too in the indies. They just didn't get the recognition for it. And, you know, Moxley took that route. He was a fucking deathmatch scrub wrestler before he became John Moxley, you know, before he thought he can do mixed martial arts and all that stuff, which he can, by the way. But that's, I'll say that for another podcast. And that's because I don't like him, you know. And please, AEW Marks, I'm not picking on AEW. I love AEW. I'm excited about the next pay-per-view. Don't come after me, please. I've been to AEW before it was AEW. I've supported all those wrestlers and their endeavors before they were AEW superstars, especially the Bucks and Hangman and all those guys. I was at the first gathering of those guys when the Bucks and Cody fucking did that show in Chicago. I was there for that. So I've been an AEW guy from day one, and I pay for it every month because I buy Ring of Honor. I buy their package, the streaming service gimmick. So I don't dislike the product. I don't care about the attendance. That's going to be on them if they lose money. I'm sure it's not a problem for them because they would have addressed it already. this current fan base is different from past generations. And I'm not comparing, and not good or bad. I'm just saying they're going to go to where they want to go and be where they want to be, and that's it. It's not because they hate a certain Fed or like a certain Fed. First of all, entertainment is that you have to pay a fucking premium for entertainment now, okay? I did the math on these indie shows I'm paying for this week, and it's like crack prices, okay? These are prices that I paid when I was sitting ringside 25 years ago as a kid at a Garden show or Meadowlands or Ring of Honor show. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are prices. Now I'm paying premium prices for fucking shows that you never even heard of. Shows that you probably don't even know anything about or know nothing about the talent unless you're a fan of these certain feds, right? For me, it's just part of the... I'm going for the experience, you know? I don't know half the fucking people on some of these cards, right? But my friends do, and they assure me that it's good stuff, and okay, I'm in. I'm not going to be a party pooper. We're down there for the experience. We're down there for the... We might see history. You know, we might see people show up, performers show up, you know? So it's like, that part of it is great. And that's why you're not going to see all the crowds and all that. Listen, I just saw the prices for Mania for those tickets. Holy shit, man. Let me just read this real quick. If you want a two-day pass for Mania, and I want to say that includes the thing they do, like their convention type of thing, it's the highest paid ticket is $26,625. Night one, $16,538. Night two, $14,057. If you just want a tailgate, which we were going to do, we were thinking about doing a tailgate with the Takeover Club guys in the parking lot of Lincoln Field, $234, which I believe is almost triple what you'd pay for an Eagles game. For a tailgate. Okay? That's insane. Listen, you can... The tickets I wanted... I looked at was $700. You can get $200 seats, but I'm not sitting in the fucking nosebleeds with $200 for Mania. I'm sorry. I sat up in the upper deck at the MetLife Stadium in April, and I froze my balls off. Philadelphia will be no different. It's just as cold there in the southeast as it is up here. So that's one of the reasons why I refuse to sit there for 4 hours and freeze my balls off and pay a premium. So these things are a premium. So the AEW average local, the average AEW fan is not going to pay $150 for every show. They're not. You're going to pick your spots. There's two places I will not go to. I'm sorry, one place I won't go to for an event here in New York for AEW. I will not go to that tennis stadium because it was terrible. The parking sucked. Getting to your seat from your parking spot was almost 30 minutes. Getting food was almost an hour. And the seats were made in 1972 for skinny people. And I'm not none of those. So I just won't go back there anymore. And the venue is not that great, honestly. But they're going to run shows there. Are they going to sell out? No. They're never going to sell these things out. Like, you know, that's why Mania, they have these big stadiums now. Because, I mean, forever. Because they know they're not going to sell it out. They'll get the 70, 80, 100,000 people. But it's like, do you think if they went to Ohio and did that? At one of those Big Ten stadiums like Michigan or Ohio State? Are they going to get 110,000 people for that? No. I guarantee you, though, in 3 months after that, though, for an Ohio State game, they're gonna pack that place. People pick their poison. People pick to choose a premium for their entertainment, and that's just how it is. I just went to a rock concert in February. I think I mentioned it last show. And those tickets, I guarantee you, were almost $500 for the two of them. I got them as a gift, but I'm just... Because I just priced them, and I assumed after the fact. But, man... Just listen, just to get in the place, if we didn't take the train, you're paying almost $80 to park in Manhattan. So now you're almost $600 in. Two beers cost almost $50, 24-ounce beers. So if we have four of them, that's over $100, right? With the tax and tip, right? Which we did. Will and I got something to eat. I don't know what Will paid. It wasn't $100, but like... Even if it was $25 or $50, right? It's an expensive night, and you pay your premium. Like I could have went to Raw tonight at the Barclay. Nah, because I know if I want to sit close, it's going to be a gazillion dollars for what? For Raw? Oh, it's the last Raw before Mania. Big fucking deal. The Raw after Mania was really good. I went to one of them. That's about it. Because it was local, but I mean, what are you going to do, right? But those are the prices, and wrestling fans will go where they want to go. It has nothing to do with the talent. And I mean, if you're finical about the booking and stuff like that, I mean, listen, every show gets booked either good or bad. How many times have I told you I watch shows that the beginning ended great, the beginning was great, and then the ending was terrible, or vice versa? Not every show is going to be well booked. Not every talent is going to be well pushed. It just depends on who's booking. It depends on the performers. It depends on where you work and how you work. That's the bottom line. You know, it's... I can get into another podcast. I can do an episode about that. Just in Japan. Like, how they book in Japan is ridiculous, right? But that's how it is. Boys and girls, that's how it is. And whatever. It is what it is. Let me get into the WrestleMania card for you real quick. Let's see. They're going to have the Battle Royal, but I think it's going to be the Battle Royal for Andre the Giant might be on SmackDown the Friday before. Let's see. Okay. They got the, we got Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, Naomi versus Damage Control. I think the face team will win that. AJ Styles versus LA Knight. I can't do the yeah because my fucking soundboard won't connect to this for some reason. But I'd love to see Jey Uso. That's the match I'm looking forward to the most. Is going to be that. Jimmy versus Jay. There's a lot of emotion there. They're brothers. They've been doing this thing a minute now. They're top performers, and they're one of the best. They were one of the best tag teams before they split them up. But I'm more excited for that than anything. This is for the Undisputed Tag Titles. It's going to be a six-pack ladder match. Judgment Day defends against DIY. Awesome Truth. New Day. A-Town Down, which is Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, and the new Catch Republic, which is, I love Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and that's going to be for the tag titles. Logan Paul defends the U.S. title against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. I think, let me go back for a minute. I think, who's going to win the tag titles? It's probably going to be, I could see the Judgment Day retaining. And Damian Priest is still Mr. Money in the Bank too, but I can also see Austin Theory and Grayson Waller winning the titles too. So Logan Paul against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens for the U.S. title. They're so high on Logan Paul, and I can't really talk shit because he impressed me the last couple shows. I could see him retaining. I'd love to see Kevin Owens win, but I could see him retaining that. Gunther defends the IC title against Sami Zayn. Gunther for the win. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. Rhea Ripley has been on a tear with that title. She's defending. I like to see Becky win, but I think it'll be Rhea retaining. Io Sky defends her women's title against Bayley. Bayley will definitely win that. Seth freaking Rollins defends the World Heavyweight title against Drew McIntyre. I think McIntyre is going to win. And it's not going to be a good weekend for Seth because he'll probably lose that tag match with Cody and him against The Rock and Roman Reigns. And the next night will be Cody taking the title. taking the title from Roman Reigns. Listen, you've seen the hashtags. You've seen the shirts. You've seen the fans go out of their friggin' minds on social media regarding Cody Rhodes and his quest for the title. I'm kind of partial because I his dad is my idol, but to be perfectly honest with you, Roman Reigns has been the man forever. At one point we've seen it a million times, and I remember Choppy kept saying, "Nah, he's not gonna lose it. He's not gonna lose it. He's not going to lose it." And we kept saying to him, "You're crazy. He's got to lose it. He's got to lose it." And Choppy kept saying, no, he's not going to lose it. He's not going to lose it. And the only person that called Roman Reigns to retain up until this point has been Choppy. So I give him the credit for that. but I think his time is done. Just for storyline purposes, I feel like Cody should win, quote-unquote, fulfill the dream. And that's why I like Seth Rollins lose his belt. I mean, either way, CM Punk is coming back to fight one of those guys, too, either him or McIntyre. He's got beef with both of them. More McIntyre or anything. It would make sense for him to win, and Punk comes right back tonight. I think he's due back like right now, but he can't. I think he's clear, but he can't fight. I'm not sure. I have to double-check that with my peoples, but that's how it's going to go. But it should be interesting. It's two nights, and I have a full week of wrestling. I'm very excited. It reminds me of the old days where I would just get excited for WrestleMania, and I have to wait and wait and wait and wait until Sunday. Now I don't have to wait, because every Fed on the planet does yearly shows around Mania weekend, and it's so dope. I'm hearing Minnesota next year. Wouldn't that be great? That stadium, I'm a huge Vikings fan. You guys all know that. That stadium is brand new, basically still. To have Mania there indoors in April, it's still win-win. I know the Midwest gets crazy with the weather, but I mean, I know I have friends and family now in the Midwest that would love Mania in that area. You know what I'm saying? And they would travel. Some people live there, but some would travel. Like, I know friends in Chicago. I have friends in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I have friends in Idaho, Iowa. Like, they would all probably travel to Mania just for the once in a lifetime. Like, hey, I've been to Mania or Mania weekend for that matter, because everybody's around. You're getting all these shows, like the UK, Japan. You're getting deathmatch shit. You're getting lucha. You're getting midgets. I'm sorry, it's little people. You're getting the big battle crap. You're getting all this other stuff. You're getting all a plethora of professional wrestling. It's the mothership. It's the granddaddy, if you will, right? It's Mania. It's everything is great with Mania except for Mania sometimes. Sometimes that the week is just better than the fucking events that led up to it. Like, it's just that kind of party, man. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. But yes, that's been my story. I'm sticking with it. I've talked to you guys way too much, I think. Oh no, only 45 minutes. That's not too bad. Look at me, I'm a champion. Yeah, so that's going to be me. I'll be down in Philadelphia. If you guys hear this before that, I'm going to put this out either today or tomorrow. If you guys hear it, hit us up. Let us know where you're going to be. I'd love to see you handshake and a hug or both. If we're drinking, let's get a beer. If we're not, we'll get a diet soda. But I'm looking forward to seeing some people down there. I'm really looking forward to seeing Nick. I haven't seen Nick in a couple of years. I miss him. I miss Surfer. I haven't seen Surfer. I want to see Surfer. I hope he's doing well. I mean, I talk to him all the time on Messenger, but on the WhatsApp gimmick. But yeah, and I'm constantly in contact with these guys, but I haven't seen him in so long. So it'll be cool. And all my Philadelphia friends of the podcast, other podcasts are going to be down there, I hope. Hit me up. Let's do some things. Let's say hello, you know. And if you're a talent that listens to this, hit me up. Let me know where you're going to be. You want to promote some shit? We'll promote it on our page for you. Let us know, because it's Mania, man. I'm hoping to see Joe Gertner while I'm down there, because I'll be at the arena, one of those battleground gimmicks. So good to see Joel. I speak to Joel all the time, but I don't see him. Last time I saw him was like a year or two ago, so I haven't seen him in person. I'd love to see him. You know, we talk all the time, but you know, OG Kevin Gill, no, he'll be down there. I hope to see him. You know, last time I saw him was at a SmackDown in Atlantic City, at the tail end of COVID. You know. So anyway, with that being said, let's take a break. Let's plug our friends, and we'll come back with a cool little throwback for y'all. Run down. I know we've done it already, but now since it's the 30th anniversary of the Mania 10, so let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 491 of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's Philly Rhea. It's Augie. Where's Augie? Where he's chilling. He's chilling in his bed. And we'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder. Because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Get G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcasts, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
Got 30 minutes to kill?
Come check out 30 Screams or Less, where we review a horror movie in 30 minutes or less. We cover new movies and old ones too.
We'll give our honest thoughts on the movie, good or shit, as well as a rating of each one that we watch.
New episodes weekly, available on the Shining Wizards Network and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
Come check us out at 30 Screams or Less.
You like your music heavy? Then check out Radioactive Metal on the Shining Wizards Network. For over 16 years now, Radioactive Metal has been one of the longest running podcasts. Over the years, we've interviewed some legendary metal acts, had some awesome discussions, and cranked a hell of a lot of tunes. So join your cool Uncle Snowy and his co-host Aaron for the audio mosh pit that is Radioactive Metal here on the Shining Wizards Network.
Well, the action is underway!
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Hi, I'm Harvey Whippleman, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
191 Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. I forgot to mention when beginning of the show, because I always plug on networks, and I haven't been doing it lately, and I apologize, but we are still a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network. Shining Wizards are on every Monday, and they have a shit ton of stuff going on their end. Check them out. Please listen to them and give them some love and all of the programs that we have on the network. So, again, I apologize. I didn't I didn't plug the guys, but I think it's on the opening, so. And Jimmy Ferrari's book is almost done. So give Jimmy and all his stuff on social media a plug, too. And give him a shout-out. So, yeah. Anyway. So I pulled up. I'm on this site before I started the show, the sportsthird.com. We've hit these guys a few times on their stuff. They rank stuff every year for different events. This is the top 10 best Mania matches of all time. And I don't know if you guys agree with this or not, but we'll go over them real quick. Let's see. Number 10, the Triple Threat World Heavyweight Championship match from WrestleMania 20. I was there for that. That was a really good match. That was Taker, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels, I believe. So that was a good match. Meltzer gave it a 4.75, but what are you going to do? Yeah, I mean, Triple H defending the title against Shawn Michaels. I'm sorry, not Taker. It was Benoit. He was defending the title against Chris Benoit and Shawn Michaels. And it was Chris Benoit winning it. That was cool. Having Eddie in the ring with him was pretty cool. The in-ring action was... the fans were really into... We were really into it. Benoit kicks out of... I remember he kicks out of Hunter's pedigree, and then Michael super kicks Benoit when he applied the sharpshooter on Triple H. And in the end, Benoit made the game tap out. So before he killed his family a couple of years later. Okay, he didn't kill himself. WrestleMania 10, I'll go over that in a minute. The ladder match with Razor and Shawn. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. It set the tone for a lot of the other ladder matches that you see now. And it was one of the best storylines, I think, ever. And at that time, it was probably the best, right? But the fans... I'll get into WrestleMania 10 in a few minutes, but... number 8, Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 21. That was a good match. Meltzer gave that a 4.75. I just have the Meltzer rating. That's why I'm reading it. I didn't go out of my way and get it. Please don't give me that much credit. But Angle had been a member of SmackDown. Michaels was a Raw guy, so that was a thing with the draft and all that. So it was pretty cool. They met finally during the Rumble, the 2005 Rumble. But Michaels, his selling in the match was great. And Angle went after the back because, you know, Shawn had to hurt back and whatever. But he did tap to Angle with the ankle lock. Whatever you want to call it. But they got a nice standing O for that. WrestleMania 28, Hell in a Cell. Triple H versus Undertaker. What did Meltzer give this? Meltzer gave it a 4.75. Okay. For four consecutive years, Deadman was challenged by DX members, Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Triple H is more motivated, I think, this time to be the one to defeat him, but didn't happen, obviously. We all know when that happened, and that's another story, but I'm not a big Hell in a Cell fan, so just give me a fucking cage match. Enough with the Hell in a Cell. You're never going to repeat what happened in the initial one, so... Let's see. No DQ, WrestleMania 17, The Rock versus Stone Cold. That was one of my favorite matches of all time, Mania matches of all time, actually. That was so good. Austin shocks the world, turns heel, joins McMahon in order to reclaim the title. That was really fun. The corporate Austin, you know? Let's see. Number 5, Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker, WrestleMania 25. That was good. I enjoyed that. We all know what happened there. What Meltzer give that? 4.75, right? These are all 4.75. I don't even know why I'm fucking reading them. Number 4, Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat, WrestleMania 3 for the IC title. One of my favorite matches of all time. If you ask Ricky Steamboat, it's not one of his favorite matches of all time. He enjoyed it, but he said he's had better matches. And I can't tell you how many times he said that to fans when we were with him and he was signing autographs. But yeah, to us, it was everything. You know, to an 11-year-old, Phil was the world because I was watching it on big closed-circuit screen. You know, I almost said closed captioned again like a retard. I can't say retard, I'm sorry, like a dumb person. Let's see. Yeah, number 3, another WrestleMania 10 match, Bret versus Owen. That was fantastic. This is like, the ladder match kind of takes away from everything, but we forget how great this match was. And it was the very first match on the card, and I'll get into that in a few minutes. And it was good. Owen picks up the win, and it was really good. You know, it launchpadded his career, no pun intended. Number 2, Streak versus Career, WrestleMania 26, Taker versus Shawn Michaels. Not bad. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed that. Another Meltzer reigning over the same. The Streak versus the Career. I enjoyed that. We all know what happens. And, of course, number 1, Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin for the submission match at WrestleMania 13. One of my favorite matches of all time. Ken Shamrock, the special guest referee. Captain Lou Albano is at ringside, looking all sorts of sexy. Shout out to Captain Lou, rest in peace. Meltzer only gave this 5 stars. You know, instead of the 4.75. I don't know. But this him and Austin and Bret Hart stole the show. It was a mediocre mania, to say the least, like I said. And it was the double turn. Hitman started his heel run. Stone Cold's career goes into the freaking stratosphere. Attitude Era is in full effect at that point. So, but how could you forget that facial shot of the initial shot of Austin with the blood and him passing out from the sharpshooter, you know, was fantastic. All right. So WrestleMania 10, 30 years old last week. Was I 19? I was 20? Yeah, I was 20. I was almost 21. I was 20 years old. Working I was working crazy at that point, just trying to get money to do everything I wanted to do. I worked to party. I worked to go drink in the bar, so I can go drink in the clubs, so I can go to hardcore shows and metal shows, and I could buy wrestling magazines and take the girlfriends out. And all. I guess that's what you do when you're young. You make money to blow money, you know? But I thought, in my infinite wisdom, that I could just jump on a train. And I have this conversation with Eric, too, about this, the Lex Luger thing, about the Intrepid. But I thought, in my infinite wisdom, that I can jump on a 30-minute train ride to Manhattan from Queens to Madison Square Garden and just walk up to the ticket stand, buy a ticket, and walk into WrestleMania. What Phil doesn't think about is that 18,000 other people did the same exact thing I did before I got there. So, you know, 18,065 to be exact. And it was insane, man. I mean, so what happened was I wound up going similar to what we did at WrestleMania 3. I went to watch it on a big screen. There's a smaller venue inside the Garden. It was called the Felt Forum. It's called something else now. But they would have boxing matches there and all that. So they would lowered a big screen into a ring, and we watched it on a big screen, WrestleMania 10. So I was there, but I wasn't there. So, and I have the program to prove it. I just have to find it. I think it's in storage. But that program I actually bought there. I was there for that. Okay. I mentioned Owen Hart and Bret Hart. That was a fantastic opening match. Owen beats Bret. I could prove it. He wanted to prove the world wrong, and he did. Big ups to Bret for doing this angle, as popular as he was at this point. Because let's be honest, 93, 94, 95, very, very thin years for WWF, WWE. Like, it was very character-driven, and it wasn't very good, depending on who you talk to. I mean, I always found something great out of these matches because some of the guys worked other places and I remember them, like, you know. Like, the next match wasn't very good, but I love Scott Charles. Bam Bam Bigelow is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And him and Luna Bashan beat the Doink the Clown and Dink and all those guys. So, and I, you know, it was cool. You had Ronda Shear was there, the Up All Night chick from USA. Burt Reynolds was doing gimmicks there at the Garden with his toupee. It was always starstruck, I wasn't starstruck, but I was always happy when they had the Hollywood people in there and they're doing their thing and trying to blend in with the wrestlers and all that. But it's Madison Square Garden. And I know I'm showing my New York bias, but it's Madison Square Garden. You know what I'm saying? So just to have those people there was pretty cool. Yeah, so Bigelow and Luna defeat the Clowns. The Savage Crush match, the Falls Count Anywhere match, that match was one of the most physical I've seen Crush work. Because Savage is always a deal, right? Savage is always very, very, very out, in and out of the ring, doing his thing. Like, you know, the ring psychology with Randy Savage was off the chains. Everybody talks about, you know, Jake Roberts and how his psychiatry was in the ring, but I must tell you, it's the ring psychology from Macho Man with this, it was so good. And Crush, I'm not a big fan of Crush, but he did his thing, and the heel Crush, Macho Man had to hang him with some like kind of electrical wire or some shit and hung him by his legs and win the match. So Alundra Blaze defeats Leilani Kai on the 10th year anniversary of Leilani Kai being the women's champion. This time she's a challenger, and she can still go. She's in her, like, 40s at this point, late 30s, early 40s, you know. So that was decent to see that. I mean, again, women's wrestling still not big at this point. It was more of an attraction, but Alundra Blaze and girls like her, Sherry Martel, Bull Nakano, they put their stamp on that, you know. And I wish there were more tag teams like the Jumping Bomb Angels and the Glamour Girls, but there weren't. But we'll talk about the Jumping Bomb Angels in a future episode. Hopefully I got something lined up for that. So, but the next match is pretty cool for the World Tag Team titles. Men on a Mission, Mabel and Mo, rest in peace, Mabel, defeat the Quebecers, Jacques and Pierre. Johnny Polo, a.k.a. Raven, a.k.a. Scotty Flamingo, as the manager of the Quebecers. They beat the Quebecers by countout to retain the titles. At this point, it was the Mountie and his partner, his brother, left to be a commentator. So they got Carl Alouette, who you know better as he's the Frankenstein character now. PCO. But he was a Quebecer back then. He had the eye patch and all that shit. But I can't believe PCO was still a thing. I can't a shit he's been doing. I mean, not recently, but the last couple of years, he's been insane. And Ring of Honor, he was Ring of Honor champion a couple of years ago. It was insane. But the Quebecers were a good team. They were solid. The gimmicks were, but you know, just to have they had a mouthpiece. It was better when they had a mouthpiece, whether it was Jimmy Hart or Johnny Polo or whatever. But either way, that was a good match. Yokozuna, champion, defeats Lex Luger by DQ to retain the title. See, this is where my disdain for Lex Luger has always been an issue, and I mentioned this on the first time we did Mania 10, where Luger should have had the world by his balls. Like he had the Lex Express bus, the fucking Intrepid thing, the whole Royal Rumble thing with him and Brett. Like he had all these things going for him, and they never gave him a title. And I'll go into it when I jump on Eric's podcast, but it's like when you think about it, there's a reason why Luger didn't get all the notoriety he should have gotten. Like even in WCW, and like when he actually won the championship, their championship, when they broke off from the NWA, when Harley Race was his manager, and he wanted to hire Ron Simmons as his driver, one of the most racist things I've ever seen. Thank God for Dusty Rhodes in that press conference. But like when you think about his career in terms of, again, multiple time U.S. champion, tag team champion with Barry Windham, I think he was tag team champion with Sting. At one point, he did the whole Wolfpack thing in the NWO. Like listen, there's got to be a reason why he's not bigger than he was. I mean, because they had no excuse now in 90. This is 94. Hogan's gone. Hogan's gone. Hogan just signed with Turner. Lex Luger should have been the next big thing. He should have been on every cereal box, every toy, everything. He should have been, but they had Bret Hart too, so there was kind of a brand loyalty type of thing there. But you had the guy. You had the physique. He could talk to an extent, but he was never champion. He always rubbed me the wrong way, and I was like, why didn't he win the belt? Why didn't he beat Yokozuna? Taking nothing away from Yokozuna or Brett or anybody else, but he should have been champion at least twice, three times over. You know? It's insane, you know? Sorry, I take a sip of soda, but I forgot to stop the tape. I call it tape, it's not tape. But yeah, so I just never understood that. I never, never, never understood that. And I'll get into that with Eric when I speak to him. I don't want to take away from that, so we got a lot to talk about. There's a filler match here. Earthquake beats Adam Bomb. Ironically, Adam Bomb and Crush become a team. In WCW, they're called Chronic. Chronic. I forget about my sound effects. Yeah, that was interesting. But this is the filler. They brought Earthquake back at that point, once or twice. This is right before they brought him back for the oddities. If you did, watch his Dark Side of the Ring, it wasn't as dark as it's, you know, just his story though, his stuff in Japan, him being a real Yokozuna, or him being a real sumo champion, the notoriety he got. He was agile when he was a younger dude. Like, he was 300-400 pounds throwing drop kicks. Like, he was a big dude, and he can work. So the one guy, don't get me started with the whole, I know, the him and that one incident in Japan. Yeah, the one of the things that was a tarnish on his career was the bullshit he had to put up with when he fought fucking they had that Wrestle Dream show, part of that thing I told you about, 91. It was in Kobe, Japan. It was called Wrestle Dream. Earthquake fights Koji Katao. And it was they billed it as two former sumo wrestlers, because Katao was a big-time sumo wrestler as well. But Katao broke kayfabe being really fucking uncooperative. And like, basically, when he started no-selling the match, Tenta started no-selling his part of it, and then all of a sudden, Katao leaves the ring and gets on the fucking mic and tells the fans that it's fake and it's fixed and blah, 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 and whatever. But this is the same guy who fought against Demolition in WrestleMania he teamed up with in WrestleMania against Demolition. He was the sixth man with fucking the Road War after they turned on Dusty Rhodes. Hold on one second. Here we go. Yeah, duh, it was fucking Tenru. Yeah, it was Tenru and Katao for Demolition. Yeah, shout out to Eric Martin, who a couple weeks ago he sent me he posted the gimmick. I'm like, yeah, like that guy, and he's like, oh yeah, and Katao too. I'm like, yeah, Katao too. Like, but yeah, that guy was an asshole, and his career didn't do nothing after that. So either way, let's see. Where was I? Yes, okay. Ladder match, I mean, Razor Ramon beats Shawn Michaels to retain the title. This was fantastic. This basically launches the career of Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, who went for years being mediocre, you know, until Vince gave him the shot of being the gimmick, Razor Ramon, the Scarface gimmick. So, I mean, we all know what happens after that. But this catapulted him. Shout out to Shawn doing his thing, being the showstopper. I mean, I wasn't a huge Michaels fan, but you always got a good match out of Shawn Michaels. Always, no matter what type of event you were at, whether it was a live show or a pay-per-view. I never saw a bad Shawn Michaels match live. Never. I hardly saw a bad match on TV unless he's fighting somebody who's fucking terrible. You know, he made guys look good that weren't supposed to be looking. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's one of those guys. So he's a generational talent, you know? And then, of course, the world title, Bret Hart beat Yokozuna to win the title. Special guest referee, Rowdy Roddy Piper. We know what happens there, you know. But, yeah, I was getting nostalgic, man, about Mania and all the matches I went to. And then, I was, for 3 and 10, I was doing the closed caption. No, I'm joking. It's closed circuit. Closed caption is not closed caption. What you do when you can't, you know, when you're getting old like me. But yeah, the closed circuit. I was I did that for 3 and 10 for 20. I was there 30, 35, and now I'll be down there. I'll be in the area for 40. So I'm excited. I'm really excited to see my boys and hopefully have a good weekend, and again to come back here and watch Mania, because you know what, that's what you do. What you do with your friends, you enjoy your life, you watch wrestling, you watch, just enjoy your life, period. You know, just watching that Bray Wyatt thing today, I was, he died so young, and he died. My buddy died. My buddy Jay died 2 months after he did, and they were around the same age. Jay was about 10 years older, but like around that same thing where, you know, at least I don't even want to justify it, but Bray had something wrong with him, you know, and like he knew about it, so thank God he was addressing it. But like, it was tragic what happened. And the legacy he left, the family, like, just seeing Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham, like, as real people, just sobbing over their family. Like, he came from a really good family, and he came from a good wrestling family, and he reinvented himself several times over just to be the superstar that he was destined to be, you know? He had an idea, he ran with it. The more he ran with it, the more people believed in him that were important in the industry, gave him the shot, and that's it. That's what they did. It was phenomenal. My son is a huge Bray Wyatt fan, always was. I loved it. You know, I thought it was fantastic. I thought his reincarnations were great. I thought the Funhouse was great. I mean, the stuff with Randy Orton, I was like, eh. But, again, I understood why they did it. The cinematic stuff, it was like, eh. I'm not into that, really. But it was, you know, then COVID happened, and then life changed for a lot of fucking people because of COVID, you know? And I'm sad we have no more Bray Wyatt. I mean, to be honest, I don't know how long the character would have went on, but the fans loved it. Good or bad, the fans loved it. So, it's sad, but it's really well-produced. It's narrated by Undertaker. It came out today, so if you see it, if you have a chance to see it, please do. And I want to hear from you. Let me know. You want to email us, it's turnbuckle throwbacks1@gmail.com. You can hit us up on the Facebook, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, or me. We're on Twitter, @TBuckleTBacks, whatever it's called now. It's called X now, or fucking whatever it is. Instagram. I think I started a TikTok for Turnbuckle Throwbacks, but I never used it. Now it's just me complaining about the Easter Bunny. Just me. But yes, I hope you guys have a great rest of your week. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day, whatever you guys are celebrating. If you're celebrating something, happy birthday, whatever. Just celebrate something. Live life. Be happy. Be happier than you were yesterday. And just be mindful. Don't be a jerk off. Be kind to animals. Be kind to old people. Be good. Just be a good fucking human. And respect everybody. That's all we should do, you know. And karma will make you a better person, you know. Believe that. And I love all you guys. Sincerely, take care. Thank you for always tuning in. Hopefully, we do more of these. I'm just trying to get motivated. Wish we had something like WrestleMania every week, where I can get really fucking motivated, but I can't. But either way. Episode 491 in the books. Take care, you guys. I'll see if you're down in Philly again. Please hit me up. I'd love to see you. Let me know. And take care. Love you. Say goodnight, Gracie. Nobody's here. Damn it. Goodnight, Gracie.